The report has been attributed to all honorable members. Now, I just want to check as to whether there are any amendments and any points of clarity.
Chairperson, I think the reports are fantastic reports, and one must commend the staff on that. I've just picked up one matter on the defense report, on the defense force, in terms of the recommendations. Two issues, actually. The one thing that we have identified is the security of infantry bases like Nine Sai, where we visited. And I think we have just that day touched on the possibility of evaluating the risk of bases like that within a city environment, and whether those bases must be either rationalized or moved, considered, because it's clearly a risk. That was the one thing. And the other thing is that, and it touched on the reporting on the flying hours, with the budget under pressure, and also to try to assist the department with trying to procure money, we must just try to determine how many flying hours, first of all, whether the flying hours of the leased aircraft, I'm not only referring to the VIP, but remember our troops to Central Africa, is not troops and our equipment is not transported with our own aircraft. And we are using leased aircraft for that. So the impact of that flying hours, whether that is part of the report, if not, then they must report to us, and the cost of that. Because my argument is, you know, we can spend a hell of a lot of money on leased aircraft, and we could have used that to procure our own. But because there's not a budget for that, now we are justifying leased aircraft, and that's putting the Defence Force at risk. Those are the only two matters.
Thank you very much. Any other amendment that members would like to make? Honorable Dambuza?
Thanks, Chair. I also want to join Mr. Mare in commending the report. After look at it, this is a good report. I think, Chair, on the recommendation, I'm not certain about recommendation J. This is not a recommendation, because when we are saying, given the tight financial position of the group, areas for further cost and cutting should be identified. In this sense, the allocation of contractors is noted, and expenditure on this item will be monitored throughout the year. I don't know. For me, it's not a recommendation. Still, it looks like the obligation. So I don't know if it can be the recommendation. What do we expect? At least the department should do to improve.
We want that recommendation to be taken out or to be rephrased.
It's a request that it must be rephrased. So yeah. I propose that it must be rephrased.
To say.
I've not drafted any. I just looked at it.
Yeah, but give an idea.
Yes. What?
Yeah. Monitoring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You understand? You understand what she's trying to. Okay. Any other amendment, honourable?
I'm sure there's a number of figures that need to be corrected here that I've made notes on, and also typo errors, which I will hand over to the secretary.
Can we have a mover for the adoption of the report?
With the reports or
the, none of the budget board report will.
Yeah.
Honorable Gamede.
I was hoping for that, for sure.
Thank you very much. Second, Honorable Gambuza. Thank you very much.
I second the adoption with amendment.
And with the committee. That's the only report that you have, isn't it? Is there any other report? Oh, you spilled it. You spilled the report.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can we go to the entities? Any amendment on the entities?
For the entities, I think Chairperson, on the issue of the ombuds, they came up clearly that there is a problem in the legislative aspect. So I think it would be much better if we recommend that the minister consider the amendment of the Act, Ombuds Act, just to consider. We should consider, because if we are doing that, we are helping them, because seemingly they've been trying to discuss this matter with the secretary, but they have not yet received any for the improvement of the operations. So that they can carry out their mandate adequately.
That was an issue that was raised, yes, in the community. Can we factor that? We'll factor that. If there is no any other amendment, can we have a mover for the adoption of this report? Honorable Bongo, any seconder? Honorable Gigi Gamede, thank you very much. Honorable Gamede, can you take over from me? Oh, this is that support?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the third one. Department of Military Veterans, any amendment?
Which one, sir?
The Department of Military Veterans.
The one with the fine print.
Which one?
I think the most corrected thing is of the 3,099.
Okay.
Because between the observations, the 3,899, and the other one under recommendation, the 3,990.
Correct the figures.
The bottom one is
yeah.
On the right side, on the right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
This one doesn't have even the number.
Number 2. So what? Zambas, ne? Okay. That will be corrected. Yeah. Thank you.
This one is not, the writing is fine, but, I mean the content is fine,
yeah.
But the format
there is a problem. For instance, there are no number.
Yeah, no, he has corrected that now. He corrected that. Can we then adopt, have a mover for the adoption of the report with amendments? Honorable Bongo, thank you very much. Seconder, Honorable Dambuza. Thank you very much. We are done with the report. Now I'm going to ask Honorable Gamete to take over now. Honorable Gamete?
Honourable members, let us ask the DMV welcome acting DG and all management and representatives from CETA, all welcome. And we give this opportunity to the DG to start with this presentation.
Thank you for the opportunity. Would you like us?
Your micro.
Sorry, Chair. Would you like us to introduce the team that we've brought to us?
There are countries that are usually known.
Okay, well, we're here together with CETA, and on my right is the Deputy CEO of CETA, Mr. Plangisa, and maybe I could ask him just to introduce his team, or maybe we should just go down the side of the table and the colleagues can introduce themselves.
Morning, members. Mboneli Plangisa, Deputy CEO of CETA.
Morning, members. The usual culprit, the CFO of DMV.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Bangani Mbangalasane. I'm the Tito for the Department of Military Veterans.
Good morning. Korea Red from CETA, Key Client Relations Manager for the Department of Military Veterans and DOD.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Moses Rampele in the planning section, DMV.
Good morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Nondebe Gomafu from DMV.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Magalem Watsuli, Office of the DG.
Good morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. Mbulelo Musi, DMV.
Good morning, Chair. Peter Kabinde, Parliamentary Liaison Office of Minister of Defence.
Chair, that's the team here, and I'm just going to do an introduction briefly to say that since our last appearance on the matters together with CETA, we've been working very closely with them. We've had a number of very serious engagements with CETA, and I think you'll see in the report we'll be able to report the progress out of those engagements. We are trying to fast track the implementation of both the database and the call center as per the discussions we had in previous meetings. However, in doing that, we're also trying to make sure that we follow proper governance processes and also that the department receives value for money from CETA. So, we in both cases we are very far down the line, and we are sure that within a few months we will be able to show you as per the report the actual implementation of the work we've been doing. Mr. Dlangisa will do the presentation for us, but we'll jointly answer questions. Thanks very much.
There, we'll cover the scope, the introduction, the problem statement, and progress reports on two main issues. The issue of the call center that is supposed to move to the DMV as per the minister's instruction last year, and the secured database, the development of the database. we'll note on the database that the last time we came here, there was even a deadline of end of April with the database done. We'll indicate we have not met that particular commitment. So we just want to say that up front, and we'll be able to explain what have we done in the meantime. So we've missed that commitment of end of April. On the issue of the scope, we are going to cover what is the progress in terms of the migration of the call center and what is the progress in terms of the secure database and the issue of linking the 11 benefits that military veterans get from the department. I think the DMV, they have a service level agreement with the state information technology agencies, and that SLA covers quite a number of things, and amongst them is the issue of the business process outsourcing, which is a call center in simple terms. Within the introduction is that the military veterans, they have been unhappy with quite a number of services that are offered by CETA. And primary to those is the issue of the call center, as per the minister's letter that asked that we move the whole call center to the DMV. Then the acting DG wrote to the CETA CEO to say we need to prioritize the issue of dealing with the call center. So the next slide deals with the issues that were within the call center. At a very high level in terms of the call center is that it took so much time to resolve the military veterans issues. And the main reason for that is that the call center, as it currently stands, is manned by CETA employees, not military veterans people. So you call a CETA person who will then have to call a military veteran in the department to help assist with the problem. Our agreement previously is to establish a form of allowing the military veterans to do the whole call center work, so that the person that answers the phone is a person who understands the processes, instead of calling a CETA generic call center. And there was also an issue of integration of the CETA system, the call center, with the military veterans. For example, to be easier to search and get the details of a person and get to the database. That's the problem statement that we have. On the issue of the challenges with the secured military database, the information in the database is unreliable. The database is not secured. It's based on the old technology that is standalone, that has no security. The information in the database is required to be verified in all of those. So the manual processes also around the application of the database, there's a lot of mistakes. There is no audit trail, so you are unable to know the integrity of the information that's in the database. That was the problem statement when it comes to the database. In terms of progress reports, in terms of the call center, however, when we came here after that, I think around the 17th of April, we submitted three proposals to the department. The proposals, I think the first option was to have the whole call center moved to the military veterans, and then that was costed with its implication and submitted to the department. You move the whole call center, you move the people, you move the systems, everything to the department. The second proposal dealt with only moving the people only, and leave the technology and everything still operated at CETA. So the people who then goes and man the call center are military veterans people, but the solution is still at CETA. The other option is to let the technology and integration and everything be based at CETA, or be supported by CETA, and the management of the call center be done by the military veterans. So the people of CETA who are still manning the call center, they are integrated with military veterans people, and the management or the accountability of all of these issues and processes, that falls within the department. And in terms of all the options, that is the option that the department is opting for, whereby the systems, I think the systems, they are kept supplied by CETA, but the management of those people who deal with the call center is taken by the department. And the people who are manning the call center, they are integrated. We have CETA together with the department's people. Am I correct? So that has gone through the Manco and Exco of the department for implementation. So in terms of the implementation, I think the approvals, I think that's last week when we got the approvals. So the final approved document, we have not received it, but all indications are that that's what the department will be considering in the short term. I think in terms of the database, there's a lot of work that has happened here. When we came here, we were under the understanding that there are systems that were developed over the years. There were money that were spent in developing the database over the years. One with CETA, one with within the department where CETA had provided resources that were managed by the department to develop this database. And part of this database was done also by a private company, but the component, not the whole thing. So what we did were the meetings. We had meetings where we invited all of the systems that were developed in trying to solve this problem. All of those companies, including CETA, the private companies and everyone, to present the work that they've done, because we wanted to make a decision. What is the best way of moving forward? We did a cost-benefit analysis with quite a number of things that we identified that what we needed to do was not as simple as we came and presented here. There was no simple solution that we can take and plug in. Then we went back and put new proposals of going back and redesigning, taking all the work that was done, integrating it into a simple system going forward. We are saying that work will be starting soon going forward. There's also the part that talks to the work in terms of cleaning the database, whereby the business requirements, standard operating procedures, and on that side, the department is partnered with the DDSI, which is part of of AMSCO, which is assisting the department with cleaning the database currently in terms of saying the people who are in the database, they are the correct people, looking at the IDs, matching, doing the business intelligence behind the database. Because solving the system problem with the data that is not accurate will give you exactly the same problem. So those are the parts that the department is prioritized. That on one side, we deal with the policy issues, we deal with the cleansing of the database, we deal with the integrating, while CETA will be dealing with the technology issues in terms of the database, redeveloping the system. If I can move to the next page. We're saying, in terms of development of the database going forward, this is, we have agreed on breaking this into different phases. In phase one, it's whereby you'll have an online registration with a secure database. Part of this has already been developed and presented to the department. It's a portion that is working. It's not a complete system. So that is phase one. That's why we're saying by the end of July, that whole registration part will be done, dusted, and finished. Phase two, we need to integrate at least four benefits with the PASOL system, which is the online defense integration system. That is the phase two by the end of September. So the prioritization of which of those services is what is still the department is undergoing, whether you prioritize education-based benefits. That is what the department is dealing with. So the priority, let's first finish by the end of July, phase one, which is the registration. We already have snippets of that system. We have demonstrated the system now, but it's not complete. It does not cover all the audit trails that are required for a modern secure system in terms of the risk that identified in the current process. We're saying phase three, which is due by end of December, is to integrate the remaining seven benefits so that all 11 benefits come end of December, they are all done online. So between CETA and DMV, we need to finalize the details, and there are still issues in terms of financial implications that the finance people are still crafting to see the affordability, to see the costing per different services, the complexity of each and every services. So we're saying the project should commence come 1st of June. That is much more to say when we get all the signed documents to go ahead, which is what DG has assured us that is at advanced stage in terms of all of those proposals. But that's the assurance that we have. We have that assurance. So I think the way forward in terms of the database is a single, standing committee that involves AMSCO, DMV, and CETA, We have had meetings as these joint people. One of them is where we look at systems that are presented by different departments. All of these organizations, they were there to witness those systems, to observe and recommend in terms of moving forward. We are committed to resolve project issues, and we are doing our best, because one of the problems that we looked at, the actual costing, there are elements whereby there is a lot of investment that is required in terms of the infrastructure. If you say you want a database and all of that, in the back end, there's a computer where all of this needs to be hosted, where they must land and all of that. What we are trying to do after looking at the cost-benefit analysis is to use the platform as data, so that what you'll be able to access the database, you'll be able to access it online in the first time. So the service where it's hosted is a feature-based platform, but the information will be going to database in the DMV to be kept there, but the access and all of that. So DMV wants to pay a lot of money for internet access in terms of the platform and supporting all of those SQL servers and all of those things that are expensive now. CETA will be able to put those in terms of access. That is why we're saying we're committed to doing this. And in terms of the shorter, what you call timelines of July, if we are not going to go and buy new SQL servers, we are not going to have a long procurement process and all of those type of things. That's why we can put a July deadline. That's the end. DG can add if I missed some of the things from our discussion.
No, thank you, Mr. Langisa. I have nothing to add at this stage. I would rather add when we have the questions, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Honourable members, it's your opportunity now. Honourable Tambuza, Honourable Nisi, Honourable Insau, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't have much. I also thank the presentation well presented, it is clear. But my question is on the company, private company that was used previously. What is the current status now? If you just dropped, you only collected that information, you gather that information only, you are no longer using their services. That company was used previously. And then I think the issue of the database is very, very critical, Chairperson, because it's one of the issues that is it can cause problems with government from the military veterans. So I think the processes that have been unfolded, they are giving us a clear direction. But we hope that they are going to stick to their guns so that it is resolved as soon as possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and also thank you for the presentation. I've got only a few questions, Chairperson, to make. I just want to check if the CETA is adding any value to the speedy finalization of this database. Is there any value that is added by CETA to make sure that the database is speedily finalized? And also to check what is the current status of the DMV database and what percentage has been verified so far. Also checking on the current status of the call center. What is happening about the call center? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I think the first issue when we got data processing taking place is, of course, the integrity of data. And the three institutions are working together. How long is it anticipated that this process will actually take? Otherwise, the database cannot actually be completed. So the integrity and validity and accuracy of data is absolutely important. And I see that Arms Court will be CETA and DMV that were part of the process.
The other issue is, of course, the role of SANVA with all its affiliates. Have they all come on board? Are they all fully supportive? Are they all ready to help with this interrogation process of data cleansing of all the members that are registered on the database? Then, of course, is the appeal board in position and fully capacitated to deal with any appeal as a consequence of this process? Are they ready? Are they in the position? Because they have not submitted any report yet to the minister, of which we had no sight. And SANVA has partially submitted a report, which we heard about, but nothing has come from that yet. Then, of course, the role of the military ombud, and we know there's a lack of capacity. Two investigative teams are not going to operate this current year. If there's going to be appeals via that process or inquiries regarding, because it's both soldiers that are active and also those who have retired. Then is the department open for any litigation? Has that also been factored? Has that any risk been considered in that respect that may also delay the process? And then, of course, the other departments that also play a role in the verification of data, whether it's SARS, whether it's Home Affairs, to verify, because there are elements regarded as foreign members that are listed on the database. And, of course, we'd like to know what is their status with their own country, if they're not South Africans, and what is the actual agreements between the SA and the F, or the government currently, and those individuals. So the government departments that are all connected to the process also of verification and also checking out, because some of the criteria is that if there is income below 125,000, the person would qualify for housing. If that is not the case, the person doesn't. How is that verified? Mm-hmm. Do we check over the Department of Labor? Is there any verification of the job position or status of the individual as well? Also, there are certain people that we still recognize that are in rural areas that are not exposed to what is transpiring at DMV and the benefits that are available for military veterans, and therefore the door still remains open for people to register if they qualify and they are deserving veterans. How effective is the communication strategy, because it's only being positioned at 50% target going ahead this year? So it is a serious concern that we're developing all these systems and the communication strategy is not running with that system. So it's absolutely important that these all run in sync and that we have an effective result and outcome in this approach. Of course, there's certain benefits. We speak about all the benefits being online by the end of the year. The transport policy has not been finalized, neither the MOU and SLA have been finalized. And that goes down from the top to the bottom. All three spheres of government is affected by transport. The policy determined nationally. We know the rollout at province and, of course, the local government as well. The MV Act and regulations will also have a further impact on the implementation of the system, because there may be a change in criteria, also in the capping of certain benefits. Those things, when will they be defined and finalized and also submitted to the committee also for deliberation? We did not have sight of those things. So there are a number of factors that will impact on the database being affected as the basis for determining the benefits of each and every member, military veteran. I'm very happy about the SOP. At least there's some progress there, and the policy is set to be completed also soon. So governing the database operation. Of course, these are all factors that work in terms of the data integrity and for the system to actually be implemented as indicated by our acting DG as a fully integrated system of benefits. So they speak to each other and they are governed by criteria in all respects. So if we can have a clear understanding of the integrated system that is anticipated, if that is really running in sync and is properly coordinated and networked. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I understand the whole presentation and the inputs made by my colleagues. The main worry here, Chairperson, is the implementation part of it. And we can't establish the systems throughout the year or throughout the period that we are in now as Parliament. We need to come up with the closing date to say from here up to here we're dealing with the establishment of the system. From here we're implementing. And the plan for implementation is this 1-2-3-1-2-3. I want to hear much on that. Thanks.
DG and Deputy CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the members for the questions and the comments. Can I suggest that we deal with it in this way, that we ask Mr. Musi to talk about the procedures and the transport policy, that I will then after that I will deal with some of the other general questions, and then we'll see if there are any gaps left, and maybe Ms. Langisa can also come in at that point to deal with the process.
The issue related to database would be twofold. The one would be the actual security liability and systems of controlling the fact that we do not have it for us and make it more liable to benefit from this. That's one side. The other side is enabling sectors for that to happen, which is systems, process, and infrastructure, which is where CETA comes from. With regard to the process towards the liability of the data, we are dealing with two aspects. The data we have, which is electronically in the system now, is about 74,000 military records in the database. Those who are in the military system, and we are trying to disaggregate them and make to understand who are statutory, who are non-statutory, etc., etc., according to their assessment. Outside of that, you would have known that we also have a verification process, especially for non-statutory forces, which are focusing mainly on APANDA. Understanding that APLA and MK would have been integrated, so they would have those that are in the CPR list, certified personal register, that would reside with the defense force, which is very easy to manage because of systematic. Then there were those who didn't integrate, and therefore they would have their files open and complex matter. Having disaggregated the two, we are comfortable now that those that are in the, which is the majority, who are in the system in terms of electronic documentation, there's less risk in it because they are properly categorized. Except if there are small queries like when people are coming to update their files, they have a child, whatever, but those are little risky areas. The risky part is the one where we had files that we had to go through to ensure that they meet the requirement of being in the database. There we had challenges. I think all in all, from the report I had on those challenges that we had to manual issues, we were sitting at almost 2,700. Now in dealing with that, we then have this capacity we've been given through GDSI as well as cemetery. Now they're literally working on each file, and we said to them by end of June we should have completed that process. They are now being built up to ensure that when we deal with the manual side, it also is integrated into the electronic side, so that they have a complete thing in an electronic session, which becomes difficult. I must indicate to the members that one of the challenges we had in dealing with this was that the manual system is quite cumbersome. It is even complicated by the fact that we didn't have adequate internal capacity in terms of human resources to deal with the issue. However, the coming of DDSI and PVT on board has been able to help us. I think we're moving at a faster speed than we anticipated. I sit with them every week to get data support because you feel this cannot be delayed any longer, as the members have said. We've understood you, we've understood the minister's concern and the president's concern. So we are actually literally managing this process such that we want to show that the implementation, as Honorable Member said, moves fast. Now, in implementation, members, you would understand that even the benefit provision was very uncoordinated. The 11 benefits were not integrated. So alongside managing the data and the file, we are also looking at prioritizing certain benefits in a phased manner. Phased manner because we have come to do a diagnosis that says to us, we can't solve this complex problem in a short way and quickly or in one form. So we've made a phased approach. Phase one, Mr. Gambisai articulated. And that phase one is also about implementation. It's not a theoretical issue. We have said as we complete understanding the various benefits for in phase one, we must begin to put them into the system for actual implementation. So we're fixing the car while moving. We're very clear we can't have phased approach that's theoretical. We're very clear and the project team is actually giving us confidence. They understand the edges of the issue. And that's why we get weekly reports from the steering committee and then advise and the turnaround time for decision is put in place. The second part related to that, I think Bangalashan will add on the technical side because on our side as DMV, he manages the technical side, the computerization effort. The second part is in relation to how, and I think member Esau is spot on to say, we can't complete this exercise unless we work closely with the Military Veterans Association and Military Veterans themselves. We are in constant contact with SANDA, the Naval Association, which brings on board 8 associations as well. We also are interacting with individual military veterans. They come with walk-ins into the department almost daily, and then we're able to interact with them. To update, to verify, to put them in the database. Now, the DG in the last meeting did indicate that we already have a standard operating procedure. It's minimizing the risk. But in the past, it was easy for someone to take somebody else, take him in. And it was very vulnerable to corruption. Now, we have put an SOP critical on which is there is no member who's going to be taken out or in the database unless it is ratified by myself. So put that, it has minimized it. Last week I was given a list which I will be interacting with the DG, which is giving us the details of the non-statutory forces, MK, AFLA, ASANLA, as to what their status is, and then I think that process can be completed by the end of June. This will help us now to begin to move to action as he correctly advises. So we are interacting with SANDA and associations to ensure that this thing is completed as an association. Lastly, on my side, it was more an emphasis from member Esau, the issues of qualification for housing and employment. You would have known that we now have a testing jointly between ourselves and the Department of Human Settlement. It is supervised at the ministerial level and we at the level of DGs and DDGs are overseeing that process. And we're comfortable that to integrate it into the database system is going to be easier because of the joint effort that we're doing. We are meeting on Friday to consolidate the final project plan of how we'll ensure that the issues relating to housing and how it qualifies within the database. We should then be dealing with houses in terms of our top-up, 188,000 that we commit to military veterans, bond, rescue, and the repairs that we have to deal with. And of course, conclude that part. We already have a housing policy that has been signed by the DG. It is going to make it easier now to deliver because the lack of policy or clear understanding on how we should deliver creating problems. So we are very confident that the policy and problematic areas relating to housing and how it fits into the database are our mission. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Messi. Mr. Pang Galfani, do you want to add anything?
Thank you, Didi. I think Mr. Musi indicated what mostly what we needed to say, but just maybe one point to add to the members is to indicate that the process of the database in terms of the requirement analysis and all of those that has started a long time ago. And as Mr. Langisa indicated, that there were work that were done not integrated by different people. The approach now, the difference between now and now, the approach is that all the work that was done as in silos or independently is now being integrated to become one single project that will deliver one output. And all of that work was integrated, hence there was a value proposition to say, with the work that has already been done, we will be able to complete the first one, which is the manual processing of applications by end of July, which then means if there are changes in terms of the policy or changes in terms of regulations or the Act, we then follow the change management process within the department to ratify the system. But it is equally important that we start to automate so that we can eliminate a lot of issues and errors that the department is currently having. Thank you.
Susie, will you also just say something about the communication question? Yeah, thanks.
Maybe let me start in a small. Indeed, we have solicited the help of staff to look at issues that will affect the provision of tenancy. Home Affairs also were interacting with it to ensure that with those cases, we came to detect that sometimes in the process of analysis of the database, even dead people are alive, and we're sorting that. And Home Affairs is coming to the party to assist. So we are dealing, we are on course to deal with possible corruption and hate them. On the issue of communication, I think we indicated in the past that we have revised our communication strategy. If the members will recall, what we said was that we are beginning to realize that it is not adequate to be at headquarters once issues are happening in the province and on the ground. The roadshows are starting this month, led by the DG, to interact with Milton Resident Director. We're starting in Bumalanga. There's a schedule that will take us through the 9 provinces during the second month. Invitations will be coming your way, as we indicated, so that you are there to witness the strength and be able to interact with us. So it's on call. It's more direct rather than indirect. Correctly, you said, remember, found that some people in rural areas don't have computers, don't whatever. So the best way to realize, go there, let them have access. And in fact, our approach now, which you agreed on in the last text, is that we're not going to have PR exercises where we visit. We'll be taking what we call services on wheels, which means when we go there, we go with a team on database to solve issues on the ground. We go with the issues so that we're not going to, it's not only information sessions, it's giving value of services on the ground. And I'm sure you'll assist us to know that as well.
Thank you. Chair, can I then just deal with some of the outstanding issues that were raised? Member Dambuza raised the issue of the company that was used previously. Let me say that there are some issues about the procurement of that company at that time, and we are busy dealing with that. We will report both to the committee and to SCOPA at some point about those issues. But those issues make it difficult for us just to extend the contract that was there. Let me also say that CETA is a state institution. We have a MOU with CETA. We have also the procedures that we engage when we procure CETA services, which we are in the middle of with these two issues. And our general approach is to use the services that CETA can offer us, because we do think that they're more cost-effective, and the way the services will be delivered to us, that we buy a service rather than having to buy ourselves all the software, all the hardware, and so on, makes it much easier for the department in that regard. So we're very committed rather to go the route of working with CETA than to put this thing out to tender and so on. So, and I think that's also what the committee wanted. I hope we're interpreting the committee's decisions in that way. So let me then go to the issue of whether CETA adds value to the process. Let me say my answer is yes. CETA has been able to give us serious advice on what we can do, how we can deliver the service. As I say, and as Ms. Langisa said, we've been in numerous meetings now since February with them, working through all the issues, and we find that process very fruitful and very helpful to us. So it's a definite yes in terms of that. But obviously, in the end, once we've formalized the contracts between the two departments, and we follow the time frame for implementation, then we'll have to give you another answer in that. But I've no doubt that CETA will deliver what we're talking about. So so far, so good. The database is going to be work in progress over a long period of time. I think we must accept that. Obviously, the first part is to get the actual hardware and software solution in place, but the verification of the database is going to be an ongoing process. We will we've started the process with what we can, and then we'll get it to another level, but we'll say that the verification will be completed by the end of the year. It's going to be an ongoing process, but we will come to you with timeframes around that verification once we finalize the policy process. But in my view, the department will always be verifying the database. New issues will come up about individuals, and I don't think it will close, but what we will have to show to you is how we can do the majority of work around that and show you what we've done to clean up. So I think that also answers the question about the integrity of the data. It is a process. Yes, Sanva is on board. We've met with Sanva office bearers a number of times, and we've explained the process. Once we have the solution more clearly defined, then we'll go back to them on that. But of course, the individual Veterans Associations play a key role, because part of the supporting documentation that's required to put a veteran on the database is something from their former armed force or association indicating that they know the person. So they're central in that. In terms of the appeal board, the appeal board is functioning and it is capacitated, although I can tell the committee that we are busy with a process to create a secretarial capacity for the appeal board, for the advisory council and Sanva, which will be a shared secretarial capacity in the department, officials specifically dealing with giving support to those bodies. So we're trying to increase the capacity there. Maybe with regard to the appeal board, you know, the appeal board doesn't make a lot of noise. They just do their work. They regularly meet and they take decisions, but you don't see them making a lot of noise about them. Maybe I need to talk to the chairperson and tell him to be a bit more vocal and a bit more visible in the processes. But they are functioning very well, and I must say they're my favorite body, because they create minimal complications for the department, if I can put it that way. The military ombud, we have a MOU with them, but we haven't yet had any situation where they've dealt with a case from the department, but we will engage with them, and with all the bodies. Once we've got the procedures sorted out, the process sorted out, we'll have to communicate with all of them about that. In terms of litigation and the risk of litigation, we already have one case in court about whether someone qualifies to be on the database or not. In that case, I think we've reported in the previous meeting, it concerns someone who served in the Southwest African Territorial Force whilst Namibia was a colony of South Africa. And the issue is whether they can be a military veteran on our database, having served in that that force. So it is sub judice at the moment. The case is in progress. A part of it's been heard, and it's been postponed for us to provide more information. So we're busy with that. And I do suspect there might be other cases coming to us. We hope that people will first use the conflict resolution processes like the appeal board rather than go straight to court. But we are, I think, once having the SOP and the policy will strengthen the arm of the department in dealing with those cases. Let me also say that the Act is clear that you need to be a South African citizen to be on the database. That will be an issue we'll have to look at whilst we verify the database. There might be some situations where, and I haven't checked this, but I suspect where you have veterans that participated in our struggle but might not be South African citizens, or they might hold dual citizenship. I think that's something we need to look at in Simisi as well. In terms of other departments, I think that's been answered. We have a letter back from SARS, which we're busy processing, about how we could engage with them. Obviously, SARS have their own laws and regulations, we'll process that. I think what we might need to do is when people make an application for the database, they will need to give us permission to access their data at SARS. Because that's essentially what SARS is saying, is that they can't hand over data to us without the approval of the taxpayer. So when you apply, you give us permission to access SARS, then we overcome that hurdle. But that's something we're going to have to finalize, and it's not finalized yet. In terms of the benefit system, and I think Mr. Tangisa can help us a bit more on this, but essentially the database is going to be at the core of a benefit management system. So you'll have the database, and then when people apply, they'll apply, or they're on the database, but say they now apply for a benefit like housing, then the electronic system will allow them, one, to make the application, but also the officials who are approving the application will also electronically be able to look at all the data for that application, check electronically that whether the person's on the database, and then make the approval electronically on the system. So it becomes a whole management system with the database at the core there. So that's, I thought I should just try and explain how the link is between the benefits and the database. The policies, let me say, we're working on that. We hope to surprise you soon about the transport issue. And it's on the agenda of the committee. I think in June we need to report on that. So we're aware of that deadline, and we're trying to come with something concrete by then. In terms of the Act, I can tell the committee that we have a draft of the Act, of the bill to amend the Act. We've submitted it to the executive authority. They're busy considering it, and then it will go into the governance process to cabinet, to the committee, and then for the public participation. So we've done a lot of work on that. We just need agreement that the draft we've prepared is the one that needs to go to the committee. So I'm sure that will come back to us from the ministry at some point soon. The issue was raised about the plan for implementation. I think there is a slide which shows the different phases, so that we're really trying to commit ourselves to that. That's why the approval will be done within a matter of days, and it will definitely be done before the end of June, as long as the colleagues who are part of the decision-making process agree. I can't preempt what they're going to say, but I think we should do that. And then we hope that by December, having followed those that outline, that we will be able to report that we've implemented everything. Sandisa, I don't know if there's anything you want to add.
No, I think maybe I can just add in the database and the benefit. The simple approach to this is similar to your bank account, online banking. You'll have a similar access where you go and you access online as a military veteran. You'll be able to see all the applications, different benefits that you have applied for, and the status of those applications. That is the what we call client side, the military veteran side. Then there's a back end that the department will be able to see. To be able to say, if you're applying for housing, we need to know upfront, do you own any houses? Yes. Have you applied for housing under a different scheme? So all of those, that's the business intelligence around that that we are trying to integrate. That's why you want to add these benefits one at a time. It's going to take a bit of time because we need to integrate all of this, that you have a single view of a military veteran, internally and externally. Internally, that is back end within the department. And a person, if he's applying, then he's able to see the status of all his applications. And the easy way of doing this is that maybe next time if we come here before July that they're finished, we can just come and do a demo to say, because we have part of this, how this is supposed to work. That way we'll be able to show members how the system works. So that's what we have done. So if we can have that opportunity maybe to show with what we currently have, what we're developing going forward, because we can show how the system is going to work. Thank you, teacher.
I do have a question, but Honorable Issa, a follow-up.
Just a follow-up. Thank you, Chair. The issue of verification as raised by the acting DG, of course, it is work in progress and it will continue. We understand that because of updating and changes that happen with individuals and their lives. However, at this stage, we, from the manual inputs that were made and that had been processed, of course, the steering committee had sight of all those things. At this stage, what is the percentage verified database from what has been put down as a SOP, or is it going to be all resubjected to the entire system and processed again?
Before you answer that, maybe I must throw in my question because it's related to the database and verification. I think myself and the committee have got a strong view that you can close this case of database and verification in one or two ways. One, you can either reclassify or categorize, because there are veterans that come from non-statutory forces. That group does not grow. So if you classify that and deal with that, you can easily close that thing. Then there are those that are current that come in every now and then because they're in the force. That one we must agree that you won't close, because each and every day and every week new people will enter. So we are of the view that we need to close a certain section of the veterans and then move on, because whilst you still keep on not closing it, some members are losing benefits, they leave us here on earth and so on. So we take two steps forward and three steps backwards. So that's a proposal from the code. That would be a proposal from the committee. Another question that was asked by Honorable Tambuza was the issue of the company. I don't think it has been responded to, or the service provider that you are utilizing before. And I was thinking to myself, you have the CETA, you have this company, and you have the department DMV. So this company would be a middle something. I don't want to say middle man. I don't want to say middle woman. This company, because CETA won't be able to do the job, they'll approach the department. The department will get the company to do the job. Just give some clarity there so that we do a shortcut on that. Thanks, then you can respond more.
Thank you.
And then lastly,
colleague was sitting at just below 70%. It's work in progress, as I indicated. I'm monitoring the day because, as the colleague said, we believe we must include it. The categorization of military veterans, I think, were almost complete. We now have a sense how many in MK, how many in ABLA, how many in Satan. The other ones were easier anyway, like the super and that's why we're putting tight timelines on the so-called company. We must do this chapter. It can't go. The only complication fact which we must put on board, because this is a portfolio community assistance, only the fact that, as we indicated, this also requires the cooperation of associations, because they would know which member states were or what trade were at what time. And I think that's an area we're dealing with, to stand by an association, as well as the walk-ins now that people know that the benefits are helping us now, though they create some unintended. yeah, unintended. But it is now beginning to assure us that in the second quarter we will be putting clear categorization. And therefore close that the NDF is a continuous process. We always have that issue. Yesterday I was told that I found that on our way the potential constituents of man which is continuous. Sure. So thank you.
Chairperson, just in terms of the service provider we were utilizing before, I tried to answer that, but let me be very clear. There is no current contract with that service provider, so there's no man in the middle or woman in the middle in the situation. Okay, there was some work that was done by that service provider, and but that contract is finished, and we don't have any relationship with them anymore. Okay. As I said, there are some things we will need to report in the annual report and to SCOPA in that regard, but I don't want to preempt that process. I think that on the issue of closing applications for especially the non-statutory forces, I take the point that you raised, and I think we need to go and consider that and the implications. One of the things I must say, Chair, that surprises me is there are a number, not necessarily a very large number, but there are some genuine military veterans who did not register in 94 and are still not registered. And it seems some military veterans from the non-statutory forces, they felt at that time that they were not going to need the benefits of the department, so they didn't register. Well, the department wasn't there, but they felt they were not going to continue in the military. Even as the department was established, they didn't feel they needed the benefits. But circumstances change, and they now, some of them, find themselves in situations where they need our support, and they do come forward. The number might not be very large, but there are really some genuine cases that we engage with and we're assisting. On the other hand, there are quite a lot of applications that are coming from within the non-statutory forces ranks, which need serious verification. I want to put that. And maybe that's the grouping that you want us to close on. But how we distinguish the two is something we'd have to look at. But I take the point, and I think management, we must have that discussion when we deal with the policy in that regard. Chair, that's all I've heard. Can I just request, before you close the meeting, there's just one issue I would like to raise, if possible.
It's not a problem. Members would be happy if you raise that issue, provided you'll serve them with lunch. Honourable members, is there any other follow-up? Any? Otherwise, I'll give it to the DGs. Honourable Issa?
Just one last appeal, Honourable Acting Chair. Is there any contingency built into the deadlines of these phases? I just want to you know, mitigate. We know that there's been delays in a number of projects, especially a project of this nature, which is demanding from a number of players to make inputs, and it's not only one particular institution that is running the project. Is it really realistic to say that by the end of December you can achieve it? Just to be very honest, so that we do not have another problem, rather have a contingency built in where you say that, yes, if there's delay, we anticipate it will be so many months or so.
Chair, look, we believe we can meet the deadline, but actually this is one of the issues that we're considering now as we come to the final approval of the project. It's precisely those kind of issues. I think I can say we had an audit committee meeting last week. We then agreed with the audit committee that we would give them some of the proposals to give us some advice. This issue is one of the issues they've raised with us in communication yesterday. So that's, we're actually busy considering that. So, yeah, we're trying to look at all the risks and do proper planning in that regard. Chair, then just my issue is a very minor issue, but I think it's very important for me to raise it. Unfortunately, I think this might be the last meeting that Mr. Ndlangisa is going to be with us in the forum. He indicated that he's leaving CETA at the end of the month. And, I would hope so. but then in his input just now, he kind of seemed to open the door that he might come back again, and I was very happy to hear that. But really, I want to thank him for the energy that he's put into this project, his commitment to the project, the support he's given to this project. He's really been a very important resource for DMV and CETA. And I'm going to miss him in this process, and I'm sure the rest of our management team will. And I want to really thank him for everything he's done. I don't think we would be at this position without really what he did since we were in the last meeting together here. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for informing us. I think we as a committee also wish him well. I think we've engaged with him very well also in the committee. We hope we won't be lost into this family that much. thanks very much. With that, honourable members, the meeting stays adjourned.
Thank you.